Once again, it's nice to be here, to be able to share words of scripture with you. As we travel down today, we passed, as most of you will have, lots of fields with sheep and lambs in. I love this time of year when we can see the sheep and the lambs, the newborn lambs, the sign of new birth, the sign of new life. And it always brings into our minds the thought of, well, what are the lambs? What are they doing? Why are they here? And what has the lamb got to do with my life? What has the lamb got to do with the spiritual life? And we always think of the Lord Jesus, that Lamb of God who was here to take away the sins of the world. So when I looked at lambs to find out a little bit more about them, and many years ago you used to go to the concordance, but now you just go into the laptop or the computer and type it in, and the word lamb comes up, and the first occurrence of the word lamb in scripture is actually when Abraham takes Isaac to Mount Moriah, because God has asked him to sacrifice his only beloved son. And there we have Abraham and Isaac going up to Mount Moriah, and Isaac says to Abraham, "My father, here's the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham says to Isaac, "God himself will provide a lamb." So here's the first instance where we're told about the lamb. And we're told that God will provide a lamb for himself. And we know that that lamb was the Lord Jesus. And we'll look at that a little bit later. So the first time we talk about a lamb, we talk about sacrifice. So this lamb was something special. The lamb had to be there to be sacrificed. And that lamb, as I've said, and as we already know, as we've read it many times, when Jesus came to be baptized in the Jordan, and there was John in the Jordan, and he looked at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." So we have this Lamb of God, the special lamb, the lamb that God said, that Abraham said, God would provide. And this is the lamb. When we look at the sacrifice of Isaac, which didn't happen, because there, when Isaac was about to be sacrificed, and Abraham had raised the knife and was ready to sacrifice his son, what devotion there must be there to sacrifice your only son. Well, he wasn't his only son, he had Ishmael as well, but this was the son he loved, this was the son of promise, and to sacrifice him. He was there ready to sacrifice him, and the angel stopped him. And when Abraham looked there, caught in the thicket, by his horns was a lamb. It was a ram. And they took that ram and sacrificed him. Now it's significant, I think, that this ram, caught in a thicket, could have just left it like that. Could have been caught by its fleece on its side. But no, it says that the ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. That ram had a crown of thorns when Abraham took it and sacrificed it. And that shouts out to us about the Lamb of God that had that crown of thorns when it was sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. Yes, that crown of thorns. It's significant, I think, that the ram had to be there. You know, the Bible doesn't waste words. That word was in there for a special purpose. That said that he was caught by his horns. His head was in the crown of thorns. So, we have this Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. But not only was he the Lamb of God, but he was the Good Shepherd. He was the one who was there to bring the lambs, bring the sheep to God. We talked about this morning downstairs, briefly, about how Pauline managed to walk and the sheep would follow her. And that's exactly the same with the Lord Jesus. Jesus was able to walk and the sheep would follow him. And that's what we are like. We have to be like those sheep and to go where Jesus leads us. To go where Jesus takes us. And where is Jesus taking us? He's taking us to the kingdom. What more could we ask for? To be led by the Lord Jesus into the kingdom. He's there leading us. And it says that Jesus said, the sheep hear my voice. And so the sheep will listen to Jesus, just as we listen. We don't hear Jesus now. He doesn't speak to us now. So how can we listen? We listen to his word, what Jesus said. We looked at through the parables Jesus said this morning. And we are listening, in a sense, to the words of Jesus. We are hearing what he has to say. The sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know, and that's parable. Once again, we'll come back to parables. When Jesus talks about the man who had 100 sheep and one of the sheep went astray. And we think, well, Jesus, who we presume is the good shepherd, he goes and he rescues that one sheep and he brings it back. But why did the other 99? Why were they not? Was he not worried about those 99? Did he just leave those 99 and forget about them and go after that one? Why did he leave the 99? Because he knew that those 99 were the ones who had listened to his voice and would stay attached to him. Remember this morning we talked about the man who had the one talent and he went and left and he buried it. He didn't do anything. He wasn't listening to what Jesus was saying. And he wasn't like these 99. These were the good sheep. These were the sheep who followed Jesus and will follow Jesus and stay with Jesus. And so we have to think of them. And Jesus is good shepherd. Not only does he collect his flock and gather his flock, but he protects his flock. He is there when, in times of trouble, we can turn to Jesus and turn to God and know that they are listening to us and will respond to us. He's the good shepherd. So good that he was prepared to lay down his life for each one of us, the lambs of God, the sheep of God, the sheep of his flock. Jesus laid down his life for his flock. He was the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep that are not of this fold I have, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Here's Jesus talking to the Jews in his day. And he's saying to them, well, there's more than you. I have other people, other sheep. And he's talking about each one of us here now. We are the sheep that follow Jesus. The sheep who have heard his voice. The sheep who Jesus laid down his life for. That is you and that is me. We are part of that flock. Why did Jesus lay down his life? What was it John said at the baptism? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's why Jesus laid down his life. To take away the sins of the world. Wait a minute. This morning, as we were talking downstairs, I said, when I read scripture, this scripture is talking to me. So why did Jesus lay down his life? Jesus laid down his life to take away the sins of me. To take away my sin. To take away your sin. That's why Jesus laid down his life. That's why he's special to each one of us. Because he lays down his life for you and for me. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to himself. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. we've gone astray. Yeah, we mentioned this morning downstairs, we kind of give 100%. That's what they want. It's what Jesus wants, 100%. We can't give it. There are times, every day, when we go our own way, when we think of ourselves, when we've gone astray. And that's why Jesus laid down his life, so that we might be brought back. We are that sheep that has gone away and been brought back. We might not have totally deserted the flock, but it's gone astray. It has to be brought back. We have gone astray. We have got to be brought back. And so that's why Jesus has died. That's why Jesus laid down his life. You know, the sheep are strange animals in a way. There was a program on television not so long ago, and it was called This Farming Life. And part of this series, there was a people there who had a sheep farm. And the sheep, even though they were having lambs, they would not accept another lamb. It was quite brutal to watch in a way, when a strange lamb would come to the sheep, and the sheep would butt the lamb and chase it away and chase it away. They will not accept a strange lamb. So what they have to do, if the lamb has died and the sheep doesn't have any lambs, they can foster a lamb, but they have to skin the lamb, a dead lamb, that sheep has given birth to, and put that skin on top of a lamb that needs feeding. And then the sheep will accept the lamb. It has to be clothed in the right clothing to be accepted. Talking about us again, isn't it? We have to be clothed in the right clothing before we can be accepted. We have to put on that lamb. Put on the Lord Jesus. We put on Jesus, and so we're accepted. And that's what we have to do. We have to respond and be fed by this sheep, by our Heavenly Father, the one who feeds all of us. And we have to be clothed the right way. We have to put on the Lord Jesus. Just as that lamb that has been deserted to be accepted had to be put on the right clothes, had to be put on to that sheep. So we have to look toward that. And we have to look at that example that we see. You know, one of the good things about looking around the world that we live in, we see creation, we see the trees coming into leaf, we see everything happening that God has made for us. But do we look at it and think, this is what God has done for me? When we look at the trees and we look at the sheep and we look at the lambs, let's just take it back into ourselves and think, this is part of God's creation. When David, you know, said, when I behold the stars, the wonders of your creation, he remembers God. Do we? Or do we just say, oh, that's a lovely picture, that's a lovely tree, that's coming out nice, aren't the daffodils lovely this year? Do we think, well, this is what God has given. This is God showing to each one of us every day when we open our eyes and we look out. This is what God is showing to us. There are so many times when it's just totally ignored and God is forgotten. Let's remember that we are here by the grace of God, and God has done all these things for us. We mentioned, or I mentioned a few moments ago, about trees. And there's a passage in Matthew chapter 7 which says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is hewn down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. We talked this morning about what we have to do. You know, we've taken that step and we're walking toward the kingdom. But do we just sit there and get carried along. No, we have to work at it. We have to do things. We have to be a good tree. We have to bring forth good fruit. There are things that we have to do as we go towards that kingdom. There are things we have to show to people. You know, there's nothing nicer than to look out at a tree, especially this time of year when you see the trees are starting to leaf. We passed this morning, and as we came down Carmel Road, near where John Daniel used to live, there's a horse chestnut there, and it's almost fully out. You know, it looks fabulous. There's this horse chestnut showing the creation, and yet you come a little bit further down and there's an oak tree. There's nothing on it. The leaves aren't there. The branches and the twigs are just showing. It's not bringing forth its fruit. And yet we know that as the season goes on, this tree will come into leaf. It will bring forth acorns. It will feed the animals around it, the squirrels that get into the tree. So they're bringing forth fruit as they do. And so we have to look at them and think of them. We have to do things. We have to work. We have to show forth ourselves as the trees do, as the lambs do, as the sheep do. We have to show forth ourselves and not just sit there and do nothing. What was it Jesus says? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who sits back and does nothing. No, no. It doesn't say that. It says, the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. We've got things to do. We've got to do it. Not just sit back and let things be done for us. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You know, Jesus is there. And am I going to go to Jesus and say, well, Lord, Lord, did I not give exhortations? Did I not help people here and there? What's the attitude? Is the attitude right? Am I doing it for the right things? Am I doing it because I want you to say, oh, we had Jim Dunn last week, and oh, wasn't he great? That's not what I want. I want you to say we had Jim Dunn last week, and the word of God was spoken by him, and it came out by him, and it strengthened me and helped me. That's what I want. I don't want my glory. I want to be here that God might have the glory. And that's what it should be for each one of us. So when I stand before the Lord Jesus, he'll say, well done, Jim. I pray and hope and pray that when I stand before the Lord Jesus, he'll say, well done, Jim. Come into the kingdom. You have presented my name. You have projected me. And so people have learned of what you have said because of what I have said. People have learned of Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I long for. That the Lord Jesus will be merciful to me on that day. Well, there are lots of things I do that I shouldn't do. But Jesus died for me that those things that I've done wrong might be forgotten. That as we take bread and wine today, that we take bread and wine to remember Jesus, and that in taking this that our sins might be washed away. You know, to start again. How many people have that opportunity to start again? When things have gone wrong, to be able to say, well, that's behind me. What's in front of me? And that what's in front of me is the kingdom. And that's what I want. That's where I want to be. And through God's grace, I will get there. Now, we live in a world where lots of horrible things happen. You know, we see the lambs, and we also see around us, cruelty. You know, you watch the television and you see Syria. And there just last week, that hospital, where children were in the hospital and it was bombed. Children died, doctors died. And you think how bad the world is at times. And we wait for the Lord Jesus. But there will always be the good and the bad, the evil and the righteous. And we look forward to the day when that won't happen. And Jesus tells us, or well, Isaiah tells us, that the wolf, the bad, the aggressor, the killer, will lie down with the lamb. The gentle, the submissive, the one who follows Jesus. That they will get together, that that day will come when there will be no good and bad. There will be no more evil and righteousness. When everything will be good and everything will be righteous. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion, the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. This is what we're waiting for. That kingdom that's been promised through the likes of that. When everything will be right in God's sight. So we have this lamb on the table before us. A lamb who did nothing worthy of death. A man who lived the life that God wants you to live and me to live. The man who has given his all for each one of us. And what happened to him? He was crucified, hung on a cross, and suffered a painful death. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is Jesus. He had the power on that cross to come down. I mean, he had the power to raise the dead. So sure, he could come off a cross. But not my will, but yours be done. So we have the Lord Jesus. And he has bought our salvation. He has bought our redemption. If we will but follow him. And how did he buy it? It wasn't with gold and silver. It's not like when you go into the market and you say, right, I want that lamb. And you put the hand in the pocket and out comes the notes and you buy the lamb. No, that was just gold and silver. It can be had anywhere. But what bought your salvation and my salvation? Not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord Jesus, that true Passover lamb. Remember what the lamb had to be like in the Passover? It had to be without spot. It had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish. But what did you have to do with that lamb at Passover time? That lamb had to come into your house. And that lamb had to live with you. That's what we ask of the Lord Jesus. To come into our house. And this is our house. Our bodies. This is the temple of the living God. We want Jesus to come in and live with us. We don't want to have to keep him for 4 days and then sacrifice him. We want him to live within us forever. And so we have the Lord Jesus there beside us. The writer to the Hebrew says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will. Once again, we're coming back to it. You don't just sit there and do nothing. You do his will. There's things for us to do. Working in us that which is pleasing in the sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we come to the end. We started with the first mention of a lamb in Scripture, and that being the sacrifice at the time of Isaac. So what's the last mention of a lamb in Scripture? Revelation. It had to be, didn't it? Revelation chapter 21. We're talking about the kingdom again. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, there's another do or not to do. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false. So if you don't do what's detestable or false, you must do what's righteous and true. So, once again, we have to work on it. And if we do work on it, when the Lord Jesus comes, we'll be granted into that kingdom, as has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And may that be true to each one of us. But our names are written there. And they will not be wiped out. God will not wipe our names out. Only we can wipe our names out by doing the things that are not pleasing. Doing things that are not pleasing to God. It might be pleasing to us, but do we do our will or do we do God's will? Let's pray at that time when the Lord Jesus does return that I hear those words, "Well done, Jim. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And may that be said in each one of you. May your name be said in a high manner. Thank you.